103.9 FM, WOZO Radio, Knoxville.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Girl, loved the mess. I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I love my uniform. So did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. Things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God. Letting go.
Yo! Welcome to Free Thought Radio Hour on 10ZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is a Wednesday, and if not, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show and should not try calling in. I'm the Wombat, and as usual, we have guests on the line ready to have a great, great, great chat with us. So Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about, you know, atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. All that lovely stuff. Conversely, we'll also be talking about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, superstition, and why Game of Thrones Season 8 is so terrible. It's killing me on the inside. If you get the feeling that you're not the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rational groups that exist right here in the Knox Patch, and I'll be telling you how you can get in contact with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's been an atheist call-in TV show broadcasting right here in Knoxville and has been for 8 years? Doubter 5 will never tell you about it, but I'll tell you right now, it's awesome and you should be checking it out. It should be on the air as this broadcast goes out at the same time too. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are lots of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. So today's topic, like I said, I had friends over here, is talking with Satanists. I think they're kind of cool people. And we got one on the line right now. His handle is Johan. Johan, how you been?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I feel pretty good. So I sent out a feeler on the reddit.com/Satanists. And I was like, hey, any Satanists want to have a chat with me? Because I'm trying to reach out and have conversations with people about anything and with anyone, and I mean that. And you were cool enough to actually say, hey man, I'll talk with you, which is not which is surprisingly not the reaction I got from most people. Everyone on r/Satanists are like, I'm Satanist till I die, there's no way that can stop me. And I'm like, hey, you want to have a chat? It's like, oh, I can't, I'm busy raising I have to go to my kid's soccer camp. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So,
well, I mean, that's very true to Satanism. I mean, a lot of us have kids and jobs and careers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. And I guess what would be the thing? Is it like you don't want to be publicly associated with it? Or is it like you don't trust someone who like reaches out as like, hey, I just generally want to have a conversation with you? Like,
I think, so first of all, I'm not a member of and cannot speak for the Church of Satan.
Right.
Opinions, views I give today are mine and mine alone, and don't necessarily reflect those of the Church of Satan, the members, or the priesthood.
Same here.
Starting off with that.
I don't speak for all black people that call themselves the Wombat that have a radio show. I'm always talking for myself. And hey, you know, we're both here. We're just talking to each other. So, like, I don't think anyone's running for election on the stances that we hold. We're just here to show that you can have that conversation with anyone. So, why did you, I guess, agree to, like, talk with me compared to, like,
well,
everyone else?
I think for me, it's a matter of I had the free time. A lot of Satanists have very important careers. They have children. They have families. I am a young single man. So I had the time to kill.
I know that grind.
I generally agree with the idea that you should be able to talk to anybody about anything. So I looked into the channel, the station a little bit, and thought, you know what, I think I'm going to get a fair shake here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times we get asked to do interviews or to be the study of somebody's psychology or theology papers, and there's a certain level of bias.
Yeah. No,
so
I get it.
We tend to be very, very picky about who and when and where and how we give interviews.
Okay, well, dude, I can't tell you how happy I am that, you know, yeah. And to be honest with you, this isn't so much an interview as it's just like a good practice of conversation. I guess what a lot of people on the show are probably thinking, and this is probably just the juiciest stuff to get out of the way, what is a Satanist? What do you mean when you say Satanist? What is it about? Just quick overview.
A Satanist is somebody who read the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey and saw themselves reflected back in the pages of that book. They identified with what was in the book, and they resonated with it, and they saw that they had already been living their lives as Satanists already. But after reading this book, they're just able to put a word to it.
Oh.
Satanists are not made, they're born. We don't do recruitment drives, and we don't proselytize or evangelize. You either are or you are not.
Now, you don't do fundraisers? Is that what you're saying?
Nope. We don't fundraise, we don't evangelize, we don't recruit. You'll never see
on
a soapbox holding up the Satanic Bible shouting on a corner.
So if you ever see a local Satanist car wash, would you then like pull down your window and be like, liars, defilers, not one of us, apostates?
I don't think I would care enough.
You know? So maybe
for us, you know, yeah, you either are or you aren't. And if you walk the walk and you talk the talk, you are. If you can produce the goods,
okay,
that results matter.
Okay, I really want to know. I'm gonna hammer on one little thing. Like, why no like bake sales? Like, why no Satanist potlucks? What is the apprehension?
It's not necessarily an apprehension, it's a matter of nature, right?
Mm.
Satanists, by definition, are more self-centered. We are individuals. We like to be in control of our lives and our spheres of influence, and you can put two Satanists in a room, ask them one question, and get two very, very different answers. So Satanism is kind of an organization for non-joiners, if you will.
Hmm.
So the church as an organization does not have a political stance. It does not have views on current events or things like that. Those are all the members. So I can guarantee you right now that you have gone to a bake sale.
Oh.
And there was a Satanist there helping run it, helping things go smoothly, taking charge, but it was not a Satanist bake sale.
Hmm.
You will never see the sigil of Baphomet, the symbol of the church, on a nice big...
No, you could see it on a cookie. You could see it on a cookie, right? You could.
You might very well see it on Halloween. You might see a Baphomet cookie.
Oh, okay. So let's throw this out real quick. Like, is there important holidays in Satanism, and is like holiday unlit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The most important holiday on the Satanic calendar is one's own birthday.
Oh, okay. So everyone...
it's the day that you were born.
So everyone.
It's a day that an important person came into the world and started making changes to the world around them to make a world they want. And you, a Satanist, is a pretty awesome person most of the time, so that's worth celebrating.
Mm, so birthdays are more of just like, hey, you're awesome, rather than, hey, you were made on this day, right? Or is it,
well,
help me out.
An important person was made on this day. You, the individual.
Nice. Would you say then that the other holidays aren't as popular or as celebrated? Like, do Satanists celebrate Christmas, Halloween? Like, what?
I celebrate I celebrate Christmas because my family does.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's a time to spend with your loved ones, eat a lot of really unhealthy but amazingly tasty food.
That's my mom's cooking. How dare you?
Check up some blood pressure with a literal mountain of cookies, you know.
Yeah.
It's a time to celebrate and to indulge in all the wonderful things in life with the people you care about. So some Satanists don't celebrate Christmas because it's all so commercialized and
sure.
It's all so, but other Satanists kind of co-opt the holiday and turn it into something they like better, if that makes sense.
I mean, I'm sure there is the case, but like, do they generally partake in the religious aspects of Christmas as well?
I think that really depends. Some Satanists, many Satanists, aren't open about their religion. And I can guarantee that in most churches in America, there is a Satanist who is very politely and quietly sitting there participating, and they might even be a very charming, nice, fun individual, very active in their church, but they're there because they're making somebody else happy, because it's easier than picking a fight.
Okay. I'm going to ask maybe like two more questions before I'm pretty much full on like how Satanists, you know, roll, but like it seems as if being aware of yourself as an individual and respecting your impact in society isn't the only makers that make you a Satanist. Is there anything else beyond that? Like I'm, honestly, to a certain extent, self-centered. I appreciate living, and I want to keep living as long as I can at a high quality. So I'll work and I'll make friends and stuff
satanic.
Like that. Yeah, but it's also humanistic in a sense. Like, what crosses the line into Satanism? Like, wouldn't it necessarily require a belief in a deity, or is it not a belief in a deity? What do you think?
Satanism is an atheistic religion. Magus Gilmore, High Priest Gilmore, puts it as, we are I-theists.
I don't know new words. Ah, rhetoric. Killing me.
The only person to blame for your mistakes is you. The only person you can celebrate for your successes is you. No God made you recover from a surgery. No devil made you misbehave. You did that. And you need to accept and own that. You need to be your own God.
Okay.
You need to act in the world in a way that is conducive to your own happiness and success. And you need to acknowledge that at the end of the day, the only person you can hold accountable is yourself.
Does believing all of that necessarily make someone a Satanist?
I think that really depends on the individual. That's one of the interesting about Satanism as a religion. It's an individualistic religion.
Okay,
how somebody interprets and practices what's in the Satanic Bible and the rest of the Satanic canon makes or breaks whether or not you're a Satanist.
Mm.
But at the same time, again, you can take five Satanists, put them in a room, and ask them a question you would think would be very simple, and get five very different answers.
Is there a central dogma to Satanism, I wonder?
There are. I could hit a couple of them for you if you're interested.
But one, yeah, definitely. But like one that's consistent for like all five of those people who would answer at least similarly, if not exactly the same. But like, yeah, this is more or less the same thing that we all believe, basically. Like, what do you got?
Well, there's the 11 satanic rules of the earth.
11! That's more than 10.
11.
Take that, Christians.
We do have satanic sins as well.
Okay, what do you got?
For the 11 satanic rules of the earth, they're pretty simple, short, sweet, to the point.
No-brainers. Okay, go for it.
Don't give people's opinions or advice unless you're asked for them.
So I will tell you right now, I have three rules for how I live. And that's number two, at least on my list. My first list is don't be a jerk. You don't have to be nice to people, but you could at least not be a jerk to them. So
that's very satanic.
It's also very me.
Don't be a jerk unless you have to.
Unless you have to,
be great at it.
Yeah, that's my third rule. My third rule is whatever you decide to do, work really hard at it. Like, work hard, basically. Keep going. What do you got? What's the rest of
the second lesson? Would be, don't tell your troubles to others unless you are sure they want to hear them.
Okay.
Nobody likes a whiner. Nobody likes a whiner. If you're sitting there complaining about a problem you have, go out and solve it. Don't sit there and complain at other people and expect anything productive to happen.
That is a really, like, what's the right word for it? Like, straightforward rule. It's like, nobody likes whiners.
Satanists tend to be very straightforward. When you're in another person's lair, show them respect. Or
okay.
Don't go there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Again, don't be a jerk.
If you're going to be in somebody's home or on somebody's radio station,
yeah,
and you can't abide by the rules and expectations set out by that person, don't go there.
Hmm.
Don't do the thing.
Yeah. Be cool, you know, basically, right? Be chill.
And number four, on the other side of that, if a guest is in your lair and annoys you, treat them cruelly and without mercy.
Treat them cruelly and without mercy?
Mm-hmm.
What does
that
mean?
Do not tolerate somebody coming into your home, into your place, into your sphere of influence, and disrespecting the rules and expectations set out. Get them the hell out of there. You're no longer welcome here. I'm not going to treat you like you're welcome here. You are going to be treated cruelly and without mercy until you are out of where I have dominion over.
I'm going to throw out something. There probably is a rule later on that will probably fix it. That should probably be a little bit higher on the list, but why not just kill them?
Well,
you're treating them cruelly and without mercy.
You are expected to follow the law.
So but with no mercy.
Within the letter of the law.
Okay, so there's fine print along with this rule that's probably...
It's not that fine, I would say, but...
Okay, keep going, you're good.
This is a big one.
All right.
One of the things I'm really kind of happy about is that the Church of Satan and the Satanic Bible is the only holy text, air quotes on holy, that...
Is it literally air quotes on holy?
Expressly condemns... sexual assault. So the fifth satanic rule of the earth is do not make sexual advances unless you're given the signal, right? Unless somebody is reciprocating those romantic advances,
don't.
And if you're not getting that vibe back, stop. It's not wanted.
What is the what would you say is the telltale satanic, yeah, I'm feeling this vibe sign that you would suggest other people look out for? It's like, yeah, this guy.
Well, it's not about a satanic sign. It's just about a sign, you know, like you
anything,
know, hey,
right? It was like,
you
wanna,
you know, get out of here and go hang out and do something after this party. And
oh yeah.
If she's like,
go.
No, well, you know, I've got, and I have to go see my friend. No,
yeah,
like,
my back
it's
hurts.
Yeah,
like,
she's out.
He's
get
like,
out.
Yeah,
no, it's cool.
But it's like, no, let's do it. It's like, okay, yeah, cool. Boy or girl, yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, everybody.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey,
what's all back
in. More consenting adults do in their free time is their business.
Boom. All right, keep going. I like it.
Do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden to the other person and they cry out to be relieved.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's not just items. That's problems. Don't take on other people's things, items, I mean, obviously, but also their troubles, their insecurities, their battles, unless they ask you to, you know that they can't handle it on their own.
I wonder, do these rules have, like, additional paragraphs or, like, cited to other areas of the books or are allowed
it's
to be...
It's just about how you've interpreted it.
It's literally up to how any one person interprets it? Like, so if someone's like,
well, I mean,
oh, my car broke down, dang it! And then someone's like, I'll steal your car. Right?
I think everything in Satanism has the lens of common sense applied to it first.
Okay. Is that your interpretation or is that like explicit?
I think that's pretty universal in my experience.
So basically, if I were to interpret what you just said right, it's that we don't take this as a black and white sort of issue. We are interpreting it with our own minds and common sense whenever we read
Satanism,
something, because it's not coming from like an all-powerful, all-knowing deity.
No, it's not.
Okay.
You know, Satanism demands study, not worship. That's a big one.
It also sounds like it's not leading itself to as much dogmatic thinking as more classic or traditional religions. Is that fair? In the sense of, like,
That's very fair.
This whole book could be completely wrong. I'm willing to abandon it if there's a better system out there, or if I can find something a bit more useful.
I think the doctor himself, Anton LaVey, said, you know, this religion will change. It must. It has to be flexible. It has to be reinterpreted or changed or altered in some way at some point,
and
based on what works.
And how do you feel about that?
I think that it ties to another really important satanic sin, which is the forgetfulness of past orthodoxies.
I don't understand.
So if you understand why somebody failed before, it'll help you succeed in the future.
Okay, okay.
But if you forget the failures of those that came before, you are doomed to repeat them.
And is that what makes you inspired to change as necessary what you read in the satanic Bible?
Well, I personally don't feel that the satanic Bible really needs changing. I think the way that the organization does things in the past and does things now has changed, and by necessity.
Okay.
But
if there was a change in the future, what do you think would be the big one or the most significant one?
This is just me.
Yeah.
Again.
Dude, we're talking to each other.
Currently, there's a bit of a spat. There's an argument between this satanic temple and the Church of Satan.
Okay. Different things.
Different groups. Right. Very, very different. The biggest argument that
I've
heard.
Also, FM radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Just letting you know.
The biggest argument I've heard is that the Church of Satan doesn't do anything with Satanism.
Okay.
But I feel that's not entirely true.
Just to help out our listeners, which one are you again? Because they have similar sounding names.
I am a follower of the Church of Satan.
Right. And what's the other group called?
I am. That would be the Satanic Temple.
Right. Okay.
There's this argument that the Church of Satan doesn't do anything with Satanism. We aren't leveraging that message to accomplish things as an organization, which I feel is a no-brainer. Of course we're not. That's not the point of Satanism. The point of Satanism is to empower the individual. So individual members of the Church of Satan are doing some pretty awesome things. Both publicly and privately within their own lives, their own jobs, their own spheres of influence. And I feel like decrying the Church of Satan as not doing anything showcases a fundamental lack of understanding in what Satanism is. So I feel like in the future it wouldn't be a terrible idea, and I am not a member of the priesthood of Mendes. Those guys know far more than I do. I don't feel like it would be causing Anton LaVey to roll around in his grave to try and find a way to direct the message of Satanism in a more direct way.
So what would be the change?
Well, it's very hard to say because it would have to require knowing
just
in
for
the
you
moment
you won't
what...
have to talk for anybody else. What would be the change for you that you would prefer to see specifically? You
specifically me?
Yeah.
Well, there's a general feeling among Satanists that the penultimate social plan is social Darwinism. And I don't entirely disagree, but I see it somewhat differently. I feel like Satanists completely and totally uninvolving themselves in society and politics, especially the way politics is right now, is
sure
kind of dangerous.
Right.
If your voice is not heard, nobody listens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
And the way things are going right now, it makes some Satanists very uncomfortable.
No, I definitely noticed that when I was reaching out to Satanists to talk on this station. A lot of them were willing to speak about it anonymously, but when it came to actually, like, even like a voice-to-voice chat, would shirk away from the idea. And
it's dangerous. It is out and out dangerous, to put it bluntly.
As far as like the livelihood or the longevity of, you know, a social group like this.
Let's put it like this, if my boss were to find out, I'm very lucky, I live in a fairly egalitarian area. If my boss were to find out that, you know, oh, I was a Satanist, for me personally, that wouldn't have much of an impact. But for somebody who, say, has children in school and is a member of the PTA and is active in these very social public circles, for them to suddenly be, you know, associated with the dreaded S word, it could really mess up your life. You know, you'll lose access to opportunities that you would otherwise have with people who, again, once they hear the S word, they completely shut down. Well, all they hear are people murdering cats and
I think
stealing babies, and they don't actually listen. They just immediately turn into this very aggressive, fundamental, you can lose your job, you can have issues with, you know,
definitely
people calling social services on you because your kids are in danger. Like, all manner of issues can crop up.
Find like there's some common threads there with, you know, coming out as an atheist. I feel like jumping from one religion to another religion always gives at least some people some sort of like saving grace, and like, oh, he still believes in a God, it's just not my God, but he still knows there has to be a God. But like when someone says, hey, I don't believe in any God, doesn't mean that I think your God's not real. Like, don't listen to your pastor when he says that's what atheists think, but I just don't believe in any of gods. That hits people at a very special, you know, core that they can't shirk off without just dismissing you as a person or immediately villainizing you and your beliefs. And for families, it's rough. For jobs, it's rough. So, like, empathetically, I totally understand the point that you're coming from. Are you familiar with that? Are you familiar with, like, people coming out as an atheist?
Well,
like, yeah, even as an atheist religion, like, are you familiar?
Well, I mean, I came out to my family as an atheist, and which is technically true. Satanists are atheists who are more fun at parties.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Go for it.
If you've never been to a shindig run by a Satanist, my friend, you have not lived.
Dude, I can show you some parties.
So, you know, coming out to like my family that I'm an atheist, my parents were not terribly surprised.
Okay.
But for my grandparents, both sets of them, it was a little difficult. But I talked to my mom in specific about it, and the way she put it was that because of the life that she's had, she needs God.
Right.
She needs that belief in order to just make it through the day, that all of this is for some kind of purpose that is divinely planned out, and that the idea that everything she's been through, all the hardships she's had in her life have been for literally nothing is crushing to her. So she needs that, and that's okay. So long as your religion is used to make you a better person and to treat the people around you positively.
And I guess
no Satanist in their right mind would care, as long as that's how you used your religion.
And no doubt, but I guess my biggest thing is the belief true? Because I couldn't imagine trying to rely on an unreliable crutch in hard times. Like,
I entirely agree.
And even if I knew it wasn't true, I really have a hard time. It would cause me more stress in my life trying to convince myself of something that I knew wasn't true or I didn't have a good reason to reach, than to just admit, hey, I actually don't know what else is important, because I got to figure out other stuff. And if there is a God out there, I want him to have a relationship with me. But if he doesn't and he wants to hide behind things, that's not my problem anymore. Now I got to go.
I'm a proponent of Nietzsche.
Don't you dare.
Which is to say,
don't you dare.
Realistic nihilism.
we can delve into all sorts of niches and Naples. I was trying to make some good alliteration there. But hey, guess what? We got a music break coming up. Guys, this is 103.9 FM radio. I hope you guys are having a fun time. I'm talking to Johan the Satanist. Satanism is a fun topic to talk about, but you know what else is fun? Listening to music. We have Soak and we have Quiet Company coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Freethought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
I hope you're having a good time, guys. I'm welcoming you all back. This is The Wombat, and this is Digital Freethought Radio Hour on 10ZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville. Listen, we're going to talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society at Knoxville. Ask, trust them, trust them. I love this group. They were founded in 2002. We're in our 16th year, and Ask now has over 850 members that you can find online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Or you can just go to our meetup group and search Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join Ask in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in Knoxville Old City. We get together, we have food, we have drink, we have conversation. Everyone's welcome. And as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, or provoke, or punch, you can have a good time too. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Hey, by the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to our meetup and still do a search for atheist group in your own town. And listen, if you can't find one, start one. So another free thought group that's right here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee, and they've been around for more than 20 years. 20 years, guys. Rhett has a bi-weekly presentation and discussions at Pellissippi State University, or State Campus near Hardin Valley Road, and they meet on the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Then there's the Sunday Assembly of Knoxville, which started, you know, in England, not the one in Knoxville, but Sunday Assembly in general. And that was just a couple of years ago. But you know what? That's that church that started in New England, or that quasi-assembly, actually helped to spread across the world. So here's the basis behind it. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. And they meet only once a month on the fourth Sunday. I go to the one in Nashville, and it's been awesome. Check it out. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to basically any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement, or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang out with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. All right, so earlier in the show, we said we talk about the Knoxville Call-In Radio TV show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and if you see it, you can see it most every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or on Charter Channel 192. Or you can just watch it streaming online at ctvknoxville.org. Hey, and listen, if you really are a super technical-minded guy, just go on YouTube and search Free Thought Forum Knoxville. We've had a guy upload episodes every week. And now we can finally go back to our show. We're joined by Johan the Satanist. Johan the Satanist, how have you been?
Been pretty good. How about yourself?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I have been playing a bunch of games on my Steam account that I've been holding back on. My issue is I have an issue with buying 7 out of 10 games that are always on discount. And now my library is nothing but swimming in sevens. And I've decided to myself, you know what? I'm not gonna judge a game just by its score or its Metacritic or its lack of views. I'm just gonna actually start to try to eat away at this library that I have. That way, I can at least say, hey, I played most of the games in my library. It makes me feel good to at least go through that completion. And what has begun and what is still ongoing is a journey of amazing games that nobody talks about or nobody cares about anymore. Divinity 2 Original Sin, amazing game, completely wrapped my mind around what true RPGs are. Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, just an amazing perfect 7 out of 10 game. I couldn't keep my mind around. Are you big into games? Do you play a lot of games, or do you have?
I play quite a few different video games. I'm more of a I know what I like, mm-hmm. and I know when I see something that I like, and I tend to stick with that for a while.
Give me an idea.
So I kind of cycle 4 or 5 games. I have put a frankly upsetting amount of money into Warframe.
Oh no, that's not good. That's barely a game. That's just.
Have you played it?
I know what you're talking about. I've seen. So I go to a, or at least when I was at my old place, I went to a local game night, and there would always be guys who would play like Warframe, and they'd set up a table, they get all the figurines out, they get their measuring tape out, and then.
Oh, you're thinking of Warhammer.
Oh, is that a different thing?
Yes, you are.
Okay, then go for it. Yeah. Oh, okay, then go for it. What version of War are you playing?
Warframe is a video game by Digital Extremes.
Okay, how does it suck your money?
The same guys who worked on Quake 2.
Okay.
A couple of other games. But they're an amazing Quebec...
oh, no.
I'm pretty sure it's Quebec.
Is it that...
company.
Is it that one where you wear, like, super cool armor or stuff like that? It's, like, made by...
It's the Destiny and... Yeah. What was that god-awful EA thing they put out?
Anthem.
Yeah, it was it's the game that killed Destiny, Destiny 2, and Anthem. We're 3 for 3 right now.
Really? This game, Warframe, did it?
I would argue yes.
Okay, so
it's just that much better than its competitors.
So helping our callers, this is a free to play, sci-fi, run and gun sort of slice them up. A bunch of people are loaded on a map. You kill them all. Repeat. Rinse. Repeat. Why spend money in a game like this?
The thing that really got me wasn't necessarily the game, although the game is great. Mm. The action feels good, the speed feels good.
Yeah.
All of the weapons and the firearms and the melee weapons all feel and act uniquely, but the thing that really got me was the ethics of the company running.
Oh, this is interesting.
Digital Extremes puts out a great product that is free to play. Hmm. It is not pay to win. Hmm. And I will gladly argue to the very bitter end over anybody who thinks otherwise.
So you're saying you can get a brand new account and be competitive?
You can get a brand new account and
with the skill set that you have right now.
You can start playing. And I can. And the other amazing thing
No. I didn't say you can start playing.
Friendly.
I said can play competitively.
that's the interesting thing is it's PvE. It's not PvP.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's P versus enemies, not PV versus person. It's a person versus enemies, not person versus person. We've got to understand the demographic of this show.
So it's a 4-person squad-based players versus enemies gameplay,
okay.
Not player versus player.
Okay, so you're...
So you are not competing with other players. You're collaborating and cooperating.
Okay, so it's a game where you're actually working together. You're not just... So yes, it looks like you're running and shooting and stuff like that, but you're actually working together with a bunch of people on a common enemy, and you can develop skills playing this game, and you find it a rewarding experience because you enjoy the ethics of the company. What makes them so ethical?
Digital Extremes put out a free-to-play game on Steam that was the barest of bare bones, and they put everything on this. They mortgaged off the horse and the barn and the house on this one. And they went to their players and they said, hey, we're going to release an exclusive content thing that you can buy. And it's like $200. It's obscenely expensive, but the idea is that you are investing in the future of this game.
Uh-huh.
And players did. I was playing at the time, but I was unable to... I didn't have the money to contribute to that, but a lot of people did, and it's what got Digital Extremes like out of the fire and back into the frying pan, as it were.
Okay, so
they returned on those players' investments, right?
I see.
So they added more game modes, they added more weapons, they added more characters you can play, they added more visual assets and art. They expanded on the lore. They added in more story-based missions. Just everything about the game grew and was improved upon. And, you know, they're not perfect. There's certain things that definitely could be improved and certain things that fell by the wayside. But on the whole, this is a company that isn't out to Electronic Arts your wallet. Mm. They're not trying to nickel and dime you for all of these different resources. Anything you see another player with in the game, any item or weapon or warframe they're using, you can get through honest play.
So hear me out.
The only thing you have to buy are aesthetics and color palettes. Are the only things you really need to spend in-game currency on.
So let me try an analogy here. Just lightly touching back on religion real quick. So basically, hey, if you put your if you they're giving you an honest deal. They say, hey, if you just give us this, we promise you we'll give you this other thing, and we will make do on our promise. And I can imagine, like, you know, from a Christian perspective, like, listen, God just wants you to put a little bit of faith in him, and if you can do that, you're going to get all the rewards of heaven. You'll get all the aesthetic skins and items as everybody else. I will make do on that promise. I'm just asking you for a little bit of an investment. Would you say God's ethical as well? Like, I mean, is this as ethical as, well, like, our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
The issue I have with that is I didn't have to wait until after I was dead to get my reward, right?
No.
Here's the thing about getting back to religion. Here's the thing about Christianity, right? Is you have a disease, and I'm going to sell you the cure to this disease.
That's the better argument.
All I need is your time and your money and your devotion. And I promise you that after you're dead, you'll be cured. Here's the catch.
Okay,
you're a little bit too dead to tell your friends about it.
Yeah, that is the better argument. It's not so much that you have to wait till you're dead to figure out if it's the case, which takes a lot of trust, to be honest with you, because they could be right, but who knows? Who knows? They're all dead. But it's the fact that I also made the disease at the same time. Like, I also made death. I also made a world where
it's an imaginary
you have
disease
to die.
An imaginary cure.
You have to be removed from the planet to make room for the new people that are coming, or something like that. Or I made disease, or I made illnesses,
well, I mean,
et cetera.
Sin is an imaginary disease, and Christianity has the cure.
Right. And the developers of this game didn't necessarily make the, I don't know, whatever the proper, you know, comparison is here. But they are saying, hey, we can make something really cool. We just need money. And if you give us money, we'll give you something really cool. Voluntarily. We're not forcing anyone to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, nobody's being threatened with eternal damnation for not buying.
Right. So
prime
such,
access,
such
you know?
That if you chose not to invest in the game, like, you can still enjoy the
you
benefits
still
of the game.
You still reap the rewards of all those other people who did.
Right, right. If you just spend some time with it. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that is
and the
a
other
better
incredibly
system.
Ethical thing. The other incredibly ethical thing about this game is they had a mechanic whereby you could pay real money to re-roll the statistics and attributes of a specific item in the game. And they had a person. Sorry, they had a person.
They had
who,
a person.
Sat there and rolled for like $1,000 in the span of a half an hour.
So, if fake money.
That's insane.
Fake money.
They dropped big. No, real money. Like, they dropped real in-game currency. You have to purchase with real money. They dropped $1,000 worth of it in like half an hour, and they shut the whole thing down. They just shut it off. They turned it off.
I'm trying to catch up on the story. So you're saying they did something that was ethical, which was they gave...
They did something whereby you could re-roll the stats on an object.
Just to make it better. Just to explain for the listeners. So basically, in this game, you get gifts or like little rewards. And if you don't like the reward, you have the chance to tell the game, I'd like a different reward, please. And that's called a re-roll.
Yes.
And so you can keep asking the game to give you something else if you don't like the
could.
Thing that you got.
And
you'll get something different each time, generally.
Might be better, might be worse, depends.
And there was some guy who just kept asking for better and better stuff until he got like $1,000 worth of stuff, basically?
No, until he had spent $1,000 worth of stuff.
So it costs money to re-roll?
It used to.
It used to. Now it doesn't anymore.
No, because basically what I'm telling you is this company made like $1,000 in a span of half an hour from one guy and turned that off.
I see. Because if it was EA, which is a really big, you know, video game company that has very little ethical scruples.
Voted the worst company.
I don't believe it.
On planet Earth.
I don't believe it.
It was.
No,
it was.
No, I mean, I don't doubt that they got voted, but I don't actually think that they are the worst. I think it's just what teenagers know the most. Like, that's the popularity contest. That's not an actual, oh, they're actually sending PMCs to this country full of brown people to kill them up, and we don't know who they are. Like, they aren't doing that. They're just selling video games at high prices. That's, and
we could get it into an entire separate conversation about that.
Oh, jeez. We got, how much time? We got 9 minutes. Are you seriously going to say that EA is the worst company of all time? Is that
I'm
what your position is?
I'm saying it was voted. All I said is that it was voted.
I also don't agree that they were voted, but there's no way that is an honest representation of what the actual worst company in America is. That is not even close to the tip of the iceberg, but it is the most popular thing to hate. It's like the thing that you can make a joke about and people will say, haha, I get it, because it's EA.
I think they deserve every amount of hate they've got. I'll say that.
Hey, so let's go to another analogy then. So like EA, they care about themselves. They're very individualistic. They don't tolerate people who are mean in their own companies. They've cut many businesses. It sounds a lot like the Satan principles. What's different, if anything?
Well, I think, honestly, what I could say the biggest difference between a Satanist and EA is when a Satanist cares about another person, their drive primarily is to improve the lives of the people that they care about, not just themselves.
And I do want to correct this, because you did say at the beginning you aren't speaking for all Satanists. So I'm asking you, specifically you as a Satanist, what makes you different from, or your philosophy, your specific philosophy, different from EA as a company?
It's an interesting way to phrase the question. I'll say it like this.
Okay.
If I care...
Uh-oh! We're going to need you to repeat that. We just lost you for a quick little second.
It means any upstream prejudice.
Would you mind repeating that?
Everything in my...
We lost you for just a quick second.
If I'm a friend of yours...
Right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now perfectly.
If I'm a friend of yours, I have your back. Point me in a direction and I will get rid of any obstacle in your way with extreme prejudice. I have your back, and you have mine. We are enriching each other's lives. We are boosting each other up.
Okay.
EA has a one-way, unidirectional relationship with their players.
Oh!
They provide an inferior quality product.
Example?
They
example?
Monetize it poorly.
Okay, example.
For contemporary examples, we could add another half hour and I'll tell you why Sims 4 is literally worse than Sims 3. But...
Okay, continue. By the way, Anthem is a video... I have to explain this. Anthem is a video game that came out. It wasn't received well, and to be perfectly honest with you, it wasn't so much that EA was doing a bad job with it, though they do sort of like come up. There's a really nice developer company that makes video games, and EA gave them a list of demands that made it really hard for the company to make a good game. And so as a result, the game wasn't good. So yeah, EA did play a big part in making a good development team do a bad job, and they didn't take any repercussions
for it.
That's
the difference.
Okay.
That is the difference between my way of being and EA.
Okay.
See, if I were EA in this scenario, I would have empowered that company to succeed.
Okay.
Knowing that a superior product is going to make money. It might not make as much money as if I turn the screws and get 12-year-olds to steal their mom's credit card, right?
Right.
It's not going to make that much money.
Uh-huh.
But it is going to make good money long term. Not only does the company look good, the developer looks good, I look good, and the game looks good, and the customers are happy.
But don't intentions matter? Like, EA didn't go out with the goal of saying, I'm going to make this company fail. They were like, we are smart business people, and we know what will sell. So
I'll argue the smart. We
have a lot of people to support in this company, and we gave you 6 years to make this video game. Oh my gosh, why isn't it done yet? Listen, this is what you need to do. I don't care what it looks like, but this needs to be like that. by the end of December, and we got to make this demo. I don't care if you don't have a working build of it yet, but we got to make this game. We got to make money.
Scenario,
what are you doing?
In this scenario, I would point you back to DE, who built
Who's
a game.
DE? Who's DE?
Digital Extremes.
Okay.
Warframe. I would point you back to Warframe.
Okay.
They built the game in an incredibly short amount of time. They said, hey, this isn't even a quarter or like a sixth of what we can do, but if you back us up, we're going to deliver.
I see.
Then they delivered. Then they delivered ethically, and they delivered a solid product without turning it into this loot box-ridden nickel-and-dime machine.
I see. So you're saying like they took the gamble of showing some humility and relying on the people that they depend
on. Humanity.
Okay. And,
they acknowledge that the players are what makes them succeed.
Rather than like a bunch of business guys in coats who have like fancy degrees. So
you know, we know what sells. Well, clearly you don't, or your game would be good.
Okay. And then and just to tie this back in, I guess it would be like, as a Satanist, you rely on people to help you to help inform your decision making on what you need to do to be a better person.
If I don't know something, if I just don't have that knowledge, I need to be aware of that. I need to say, hey, this is something I know very little about, and I need to look to somebody or somewhere who has that knowledge.
I dig it.
Take in that knowledge and use that to help forward myself and the people that I care about.
All right, so while we're on this note, we got like maybe a few minutes left in the show. I'll ask, hope it's a fair question. I'll give you enough all the time you need to answer it. But like, what would
Brevity
change your mind?
Soul of wit.
What would change your mind completely? If there's anything at all, or are you able to recognize anything that would make you reduce your confidence in Satanism from like say 99? It's not absolute, but it's like 99 to where it's at maybe right now to like a 98, or like drop you down a couple. It's like maybe there's some other being out there. Maybe there's a different philosophy that's better. Like, what would change
for
your
mind? For the matter of succinctness, I would say that Satanism is a religion by definition, but it's more about a personal philosophy or a way of being rather than a religion.
Okay.
Even if the priesthood of Mendes pulled a complete 180 and just shisted us all, every member of the church, if they immediately just
FM radio
betrayed every one of us. Yeah. Sorry, if they I didn't think that was a swear.
No, you're good. I think we barely skimmed by that. So
Yeah.
All right.
So if they completely, you know, rolled us all over and betrayed every one of us, it's not Satanism that failed, it's the priesthood and the members and the people that failed. The principles laid out in the Satanic Bible are sound.
The ideals that you were expressing at the first half of the show.
Yes, right? They are still sound, regardless of the way that the priesthood or any individual member of the church behaves.
Okay.
The principles are sound.
Well, you know,
I can say quite confidently that I am a Satanist, and there is nothing.
Hey. Careful.
God himself could come down and say,
careful
hey,
of absolute
it's me,
statements. Yeah.
Your boy. It's me, your boy.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I would give him the opportunity to explain himself to me.
Cool. I would also say, like, hey, if God came down to me, I'd totally be open to, like, believing in the God. But as far as worshiping him, that'd be a completely different matter.
I would allow him to ask for my forgiveness.
We are at the end of the show. We're at the end of the show. Johan, we were going to have so much fun talking. I hope you join us again for another time.
Absolutely.
But yo, this is Digital Free Thought Radio. Like I said, just happy chatting with a bunch of people. You can talk to anyone about anything. And as my friend Doubter 5 would say, souls don't exist. Blah, blah, blah. I want you to enjoy your weekend. Have a good time. See you.
WRCOLP 103.9 FM, Knoxville.
Thank you for having me.